From NPR News, this is live coverage of the 2008 New Hampshire primary.
I think it's exciting. It's a great time to be in New Hampshire.
I think the wonderful weather is bringing in a lot of people.
I think of real leadership, we need Obama.
But I listen to both sides. McCain is a good man.
The polls have closed in New Hampshire, and early indications from exit polls show a close race in each party between Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton for the Democrats and Republicans John McCain and Mitt Romney.
The vote comes just 5 days after the Iowa caucuses, and the stakes are high for the candidates in both parties.
Coming up, analysis of exit polling.
We'll check in with our reporters at the campaign headquarters for Obama, Clinton, McCain, and Romney.
And we'll hear from some New Hampshire voters in this first primary of the 2008 presidential campaign.
From NPR News, this is live coverage of the 2008 New Hampshire primary. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Martin.
We're going to go now to Don Gagne of NPR, who's covering headquarters for Barack Obama on this primary night in New Hampshire. Don is at the Nashua South High School at Nashua, New Hampshire. Don, what do folks there think is happening today?
Well, things are just coming to life here, but the Obama campaign is hoping history repeats itself. Just 5 days ago in Iowa, he won that primary, that caucus, those caucuses in a very convincing manner. And given the way the enthusiasm has been building at his events over the past several days here in New Hampshire, given the daily polling that we've been seeing that shows momentum on his part growing, they're confident and hopeful that they're going to get good news in a very short period of time here.
Obama's victory in the Iowa caucuses, it was marked by great popularity among young caucus goers and also independents. Similar strategy in New Hampshire?
Absolutely. And I can tell you, Robert, at every single event I went to, I saw a number of them in the past few days, I'd wander into the crowd afterward, and you were just as likely to find someone who identified themselves as an independent or as a Republican. And they came to see this. There is a sense out there that this is a historic campaign and a historic moment in New Hampshire in the primary process, and they want to be part of it. Now, a lot of them said they're still making up their minds, but I can tell you it was not difficult at all to find people saying very, very positive things about how Barack Obama has inspired them, and they're an independent who thinks they're going to vote for him, or even a Republican who hopes to be able to vote for him in the general election.
Don, just one last quick point. You've witnessed Barack Obama for the 5 days in which he has been the front runner, the victor of Iowa. Has he behaved any differently as the front runner?
He seems to be getting more and more at ease with the notion that he is the front runner. He seems to be feeding off of it. And again, the crowds are bigger. The crowds are more enthusiastic. Now, with that also comes increased security. You can see a change there from what we saw in Iowa and earlier in the year as well.
Okay, Don, we'll be checking in with you throughout the evening. NPR's Don Gagne at Obama headquarters in Nashua, New Hampshire.
Thank you.
And we're going to go now to Scott Horsley. He joins us from the Crown Plaza Hotel in Nashua, New Hampshire, where he's covering primary night from the headquarters of Arizona Senator John McCain. Hi, Scott.
Good to be with you.
Scott, the conventional wisdom over the weekend has been that this is the place for John McCain to make his move. Is that bearing out there? Is there a sense of that in the crowd there tonight?
There definitely is. The crowd was just chanting a moment ago, "The Mac is back," and that's kind of been their theme over the last several days. The New Hampshire is the place where Senator McCain has decided to make his stand, and Peter Spaulding, the New Hampshire chairman for the campaign, just took the stage here at the hotel ballroom and told the crowd, "We're going to have a good night." I talked with Peter Spaulding a few minutes ago, and he was the chairman both this time and in 2000 when McCain won a convincing primary here in New Hampshire. He says the Arizona senator just has a unique bond with the people in the Granite State. They really seem to take to his blunt-spoken, say-what-you-believe, take-no-prisoners style.
Is there a sense that John McCain has changed his message in any way from Iowa to New Hampshire? It's a short amount of time. It's a very short journey from there to here, but any sense that he's changed his message at all?
Well, Senator McCain didn't really campaign very actively in Iowa. New Hampshire was the place where he's decided to make his stand. And when they say the Mac is back, he had a long way back to come. If you think back to last summer, when the McCain campaign was basically broke, staffers were quitting or else being laid off. A lot of political pundits were writing John McCain's political obituary at that time. And so this crowd, I think, takes a real pleasure in the fact that, as State Chairman Peter Spaulding said, New Hampshire didn't give up on John McCain, and they've rewarded him or may reward him tonight with a win, which could then propel him on into some of the other early states. He'll be campaigning the next 24 hours both in Michigan and South Carolina.
Scott, we're going to check in with you throughout the night, and so keep in touch with us and keep us up to date.
My pleasure.
NPR's Scott Horsley joined us from the Crown Plaza Hotel in Nashua, New Hampshire, where he's with the campaign of John McCain.
Fairly lively-sounding McCain campaign headquarters in this evening of the New Hampshire primary. So far, what we're seeing is a very close race on the Democratic side from the small number of votes that have been counted already. From what people have seen in exit polls, it would appear to be a race that's neck and neck between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. I'm Robert Siegel, and along with Michelle Martin will be covering these New Hampshire primary results throughout the evening. You're listening to live coverage of the 2008 New Hampshire primary from NPR News.
The polls have closed in New Hampshire on the first primary of the 2008 presidential campaign. On the Republican side, exit polls have Arizona Senator John McCain and former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney in a close race. Former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee trails in third place. For the Democrats, exit polls also show Illinois Senator Barack Obama and New York Senator Hillary Clinton in a tight contest ahead of North Carolina Senator John Edwards. For the Democrat and Republican voters alike, the economy was the top issue.
NPR's Melissa Block is at Hillary Clinton's primary night headquarters. Melissa, what's the mood like there?
Well, I'll tell you, supporters have just started coming in, and as I start talking, the music has just started playing. It's sort of strange, Robert. This is not a very big space. We're in a gymnasium at Southern New Hampshire University. There are big flags. I don't see a Hillary Clinton banner or sign anywhere. There's a little tiny HillaryClinton.com sign on the podium, but it's strangely quiet. The crowd is just starting to come in, so it is going to get a little noisier as we talk here.
Now, so much of a primary election and the interpretation of the results is about expectations. Mm-hmm. I wonder what does the Clinton camp accept as a reasonable expectation for their candidate to achieve here today?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at the polls over the last couple of days after Iowa, when Barack Obama got that bounce, you know, the Clinton campaign had sent out an email saying originally, "Where's the bounce?" on the first day or so after Iowa. Well, turned out the bounce was just a day behind them, and that bounce came in the polls. Barack Obama was up substantially. Now, if the race comes out to be as close as it looks right now, that is very good news for them, and that gives them what would be the equivalent of momentum going forward from here. If not, if the spread is as big as had been projected, that's trouble. And you are hearing talk about some sort of shakeup within her campaign, bringing in new advisors to layer over the ones who are there now. I heard that no one would necessarily be thrown overboard, but they would be bringing some new faces, actually old faces for Hillary Clinton, to come in and revitalize her message.
Yeah, at this point, they've only counted a little bit over 10%, I gather, of the votes that were cast today. But right now, it's awfully close, about 13,000 for Clinton, 12,000 for Obama. They are running neck and neck.
Which would be surprising. I mean, given what happened in Iowa and given what the polls were showing here, that would show a substantial turnaround. You know, when I was out talking to voters today, going from polling place to polling place, they were seeing huge numbers of voters, huge numbers of new voters, a lot of independents picking up Democratic ballots. Remember, this is an open primary, and the thinking was all of that would help Barack Obama. So if she has managed to turn that around, that is really significant and speaks to something going forward from here.
Okay, Melissa. We'll talk throughout the night. Take care.
You bet.
That's Melissa Block in New Hampshire. You can get the latest results from the New Hampshire primary, including results as they become available, at npr.org/elections.
We're going to go now to Bedford, New Hampshire, where NPR's Tovia Smith joins us. She's covering the primary from headquarters of former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney. Hi, Tovia.
Hello there.
Tovia, there's been a sense that Mitt Romney has to do well here. Is there a sense that the pressure is on?
The pressure's definitely on. He really staked everything on New Hampshire. This was supposed to be his firewall. But things are not so glum here. You know, this may not be the party that they were dreaming about, say, before Thanksgiving or last summer when Romney thought he had New Hampshire locked up. But it's also not the disaster that was being predicted just last week after Iowa. Remember, it was looking really gloomy there for a while, so much so that yesterday when Romney was in Nashua giving what he said was going to be his last speech, his last stump speech of this campaign, he had to quickly correct himself and say, no, the last speech of the New Hampshire campaign, because the vote is tomorrow, not the campaign. And there was this kind of awkward laugh there. So the mood here is upbeat and hopeful. The campaign is suggesting that the numbers are going to tighten as the night goes on, and they say, hey, you know, two silvers and a gold, if you count Iowa and Wyoming and New Hampshire, they say we'll take it. We have a 50-state operation, and we're well-positioned to keep going.
Well, there is it is early yet, but the polls do show, the early returns show McCain with a significant lead. What would the Romney folks consider an acceptable second? Any sense of what margin would they consider acceptable, respectable, to hold their heads up going into the next phase?
You know, they're not putting numbers on it. They're just saying that their exit polls show that it's a lot tighter than what you're seeing in terms of the actual results on TV now. And I think a lot of people here, I think what I heard at the polls today was that Romney was both benefited and was hurt by the idea that people in New Hampshire know him well. A lot of voters talked about what one maybe generously today called his evolution, his changing positions. You know, they knew him back when he had one position and they saw him change. And Romney himself is the first to tell you that this kind of charge of flip-flopping has hurt him here. And I heard it from a lot of people, but he also came back swinging. And a lot of people said they made up their mind in the last couple of debates where he had a really strong showing. And a lot of people there was almost a sympathy factor that I heard about, that people say they felt bad that he was being ganged up on.
Okay.
And that might have helped him a little bit.
Okay. Thanks, Tovia. Stay in touch. NPR's Tovia Smith joins us from Bedford, New Hampshire, where she's covering the campaign of former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney.
Well, now how New Hampshire looks to our two political commentators this evening. E.J. Dionne is in Manchester, New Hampshire. He's a regular commentator on All Things Considered, also, of course, a columnist for The Washington Post and a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. E.J., you there?
I am here. Good to be with you.
And your buddy is in Washington. Matthew Continetti, associate editor for the Weekly Standard, joins us from the studio. Hi, Matthew. How are you?
Hi. Thanks for having me.
And starting with EJ, what do you see happening this evening in New Hampshire?
Well, first of all, if the vote stays as close as it appears to now, we may be hearing another version of the Comeback Kid speech tonight from Hillary Rodham Clinton. I guess you could say she has done a brilliant job of managing expectations, because the late polling all suggested a much bigger victory for Barack Obama. And right now we can't even call the race at all. There are some very interesting things in the exit polls. Once again, Barack Obama dominated among young people. But it does appear that, unlike Iowa, Mrs. Clinton does seem to have an advantage among women. And her vote is much more a traditional Democratic vote. And Obama's strength comes from independents, or as they call them here, undeclared voters, who made up at least something like 4 in 10 Democratic primary voters today. If Obama wins, it'll be those undeclared. And very interestingly, mm-hmm. Obama seems to have done better among moderates rather than liberals. Mrs. Clinton, again, showing a more traditional Democratic vote. She carried union members. On the Republican side, there was a very serious ideological split. John McCain carried liberals. There are still liberal Republicans in New Hampshire and moderates. Mitt Romney beat him among conservatives.
Let me interrupt here, EJ, to say that on the basis of what our political editors have seen, NPR is now calling the New Hampshire race on the Republican side for John McCain, who is running ahead of second place Mitt Romney.
And so now this whole analysis is how McCain won, isn't it?
Well, I just want to point out before I want to hear from Matt Continetti, but I just
yes,
wanted
go
to
ahead,
say,
Matt.
As long as you've mentioned the Comeback Kid, who was Bill Clinton, his comeback consisted of coming in second in the New Hampshire primary. We should just let the record.
Absolutely. Say. And not even as good a second as we remember it, because they handled that evening so well.
Matthew, what do you make of what's going on?
Well, talking about comeback kids, whether Hillary places a close second or, you know, or not, look at John McCain, where the entire Beltway community wrote off this man's campaign when it kind of imploded in the summer. And there's a corollary to that as well. You know, immigration has emerged as this huge issue, this animating issue for Republican voters. But what we see in these exit polls is that Romney really trounced the opposition when it came to the immigration issue and those who really vote on the basis of that issue. But as we found time and time again, there are just not that many of them, and not enough of those voters who vote solely on the immigration issue to put that person, the Tancredo endorsed Mitt Romney, on the top.
But it's interesting. It depends what time period we're looking at to see how much ground John McCain has either gained or lost, or none of the above. 8 years ago, he won New Hampshire, and looks like he's won it again, from what we can see. 4 years ago, he seemed to be the prohibitive front runner, and you assumed he was going to win in New Hampshire. It was this year, and in this summer, when he appeared to have just hit rock bottom with his campaign.
And, of course, the issue, one of the central issues, is working for John McCain, and that is the success of the surge in Iraq and that surge policy, which he has advocated since 2003. And I think McCain has convincingly explained to voters that that was a change he advocated for. And, of course, for those who Iraq was a top issue, McCain won by 17 points among Republicans. So that argument has gotten through to the electorate in New Hampshire.
EJ?
But there's one other factor for McCain. First of all, not all of us wrote him off. I was up here a few months back, and it was very clear that he was beginning some kind of comeback here. And the Republicans had turned their backs on one candidate after another, and they seem, at least in New Hampshire, to come all the way back around to McCain as they look at the alternatives. There was another very important difference today between Romney and McCain supporters, and that was in their attitude toward the economy. McCain, once again, is the candidate of discontent. Republicans were split in half about whether they rated the economy as good or bad. Those who rated the economy well voted for Mitt Romney, but those who rated the economy poorly voted for John McCain and also gave quite a lot of votes to Huckabee and Ron Paul. And I think this suggests what we've seen, what we saw in Iowa in Huckabee's victory. Discontent in the country extends to Republicans as well as Democrats, which is why at the end of the campaign, Mitt Romney was talking about change so much. Everybody is trying to grab that mantle because that discontent is out there.
Let's just reiterate the news as we see it so far. First, John McCain, NPR projects, is the winner of the Republican primary in New Hampshire. On the Democratic side, it's shaping up to be a very close race among votes that have been counted, barely 1,000 votes separating Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. And the exit polls don't give us sufficient guidance to say who's more likely to pull ahead at this point. So that's the news from New Hampshire. One question for our two guys here before I let you go. Mike Huckabee, question mark. Not a huge bounce for him in Iowa.
No, apparently not, though, of course, Huckabee has had a huge national bounce and has emerged as a close first-place runner in the national polling. So that translated there, not in New Hampshire, but New Hampshire voters like to kind of lift up their nose at Iowa voters and have it produce a different result.
So, EJ, he's not a one-state wonder, Mike Huckabee?
I don't think so, because he did do well among white evangelical Christians. They don't loom large up here. They do loom large in South Carolina, which is coming up. What you had is a McCain-Huckabee tag team. Mike said, I'll knock Romney off in Iowa, John, if you knock him off in New Hampshire, and they've succeeded in that.
That's E.J. Dionne of the Washington Post and the Brookings Institution joining us from New Hampshire this evening, and Matthew Continetti of the Weekly Standard joining us in our studio here in Washington. You are listening to live coverage of the 2008 New Hampshire primary results from NPR News.
From NPR News, this is live coverage of the 2008 New Hampshire primary. I'm Michelle Martin.
And I'm Robert Siegel. The economy and the war in Iraq, those were the two top issues on the minds of New Hampshire voters today, according to exit polling analyzed by NPR. Nearly two-thirds of voters in both the Republican and Democratic primaries cited those two issues as most important. Healthcare was also on the minds of voters, such as Pam Wanerth of Concord.
Well, I want health care to be covered, you know, everybody to be covered by health care. It needs to be. Massachusetts now requires it. I think it should be required in every state.
Early returns show tight races in both parties. For more, we are going to go now to NPR's Scott Horsley. He's in Nashua, New Hampshire, where he's covering primary night from the headquarters of Arizona Senator John McCain. Hello again, Scott.
Good to be with you.
So we've just called the race, and I think we're not the only ones for John McCain in New Hampshire. What's the mood there?
That's right. As word just trickled into the ballroom a few minutes ago here that some of the news organizations, including National Public Radio, had declared John McCain the winner of the Republican primary here in New Hampshire. And as you can imagine, a huge cheer went up from the McCain supporters in the hotel ballroom. Just outside the ballroom, there was a lot of back-slapping, a lot of high-fiving of the volunteers who've been working. There are a lot of people from out of state who are here at the party tonight, people who have come from Arizona, from New York, from Massachusetts to show their support for Senator McCain. Some of those folks have been up here working in New Hampshire for some time, and naturally they're very excited that John McCain has emerged as the winner, just as he did 8 years ago.
We've talked a lot about the youth search for Obama in Iowa. We've talked a lot about the evangelical search for Huckabee in Iowa. Is there any sense of who, particularly in New Hampshire, formed the core of John McCain's support?
Well, you know, a lot of the people I've talked to who say they're backing John McCain this year say they backed him 8 years ago in 2000 when he won a convincing primary here in New Hampshire. The evangelical vote was always thought to be a much smaller factor in the Republican primary here than it was in Iowa, and so Governor Huckabee, former Governor Huckabee of Arkansas, was perhaps not the same threat to Senator McCain. On the other hand, former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney was, you know, a big contender here in New Hampshire, and traditionally Massachusetts candidates have run well in New Hampshire. So for an Arizona senator to take on and beat the kind of guy from the neighboring state is quite an accomplishment.
All right, Scott, stay in touch.
Will do.
NPR Scott Horsley joining us from Nashua, New Hampshire, where he's with the campaign of Arizona Senator John McCain, the winner of the New Hampshire primary.
And now over to Manchester, New Hampshire, where NPR national political correspondent Mara Liasson is at the campaign headquarters, or the primary night headquarters, of Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee. Mara, what do the Huckabee people make of all this?
Well, the Huckabee people are actually just happy and fine. They think Mitt Romney's going to be wounded here. That was their goal. Huckabee is coming in third, just about exactly how he's polled here. And I should just say, we're at the Deerfield Country Club in Manchester, and that might sound like the wrong kind of place for Mike Huckabee. You should probably be at the Rod and Gun Club.
He's among country club Republicans.
Yes, that's right. He's not really a country club Republican, but I can tell you this is a pretty modest country club.
Okay.
In any event, they're pretty happy. What they're looking forward to is going on to South Carolina, where he is up 13 points in the polls. He is only 2 points behind Giuliani in Florida, and nationally he's ahead by a hair. So they're feeling fine. I don't think they ever expected to do any better than they are tonight. And they know that this is a complicated, fluid Republican field that's going to come out of here a little bit muddled, and they're just trying to be kind of one of the last two men standing, they think, with John McCain eventually. That is what they're looking forward to down the road.
But this does confirm what's been the subject of so many stories based on polls and interviews with voters, which is that John McCain is back in contention.
No doubt about it. And look at the two people that have won so far. These are not establishment Republicans. I mean, John McCain is certainly not, and Huckabee, I mean, the Republican establishment, some of them would rather, you know, gouge their own eyes out than have Huckabee as the nominee. And I think what's going to be interesting, if Romney does falter badly here and can't win in Michigan, then the Republican establishment is going to have to choose between two candidates, neither of whom they wanted to see at the top, McCain or Huckabee.
Okay. Talk to you later, Mara.
Okay, Robert.
NPR's Mara Liasson at Huckabee headquarters in Manchester, New Hampshire.
We're going to go now to Felice Bellman. She's the executive editor of the Concord Monitor in Concord, New Hampshire. She's joining us from the newsroom there. Hello, Felice.
Hi, how are you?
Felice, you know, you and I talked earlier today, and we've been talking about the fact that somebody from Massachusetts, a neighboring state from New Hampshire, should have an advantage in New Hampshire. That hasn't been the case for Mitt Romney. Why is that?
You know, it's interesting. I think you're right that you would have expected that. partly because of the kind of governor he was in Massachusetts. He seemed, when he was governor, more like a traditional New England, moderate, sort of can-do, not too ideological governor. But that's not the kind of campaign he's run for president. He's come across as sort of a different fellow altogether, and not one that's really caught fire here.
You went so far, though, as to write what some people call the anti-endorsement, a column specifically saying, don't vote for Mitt Romney. Why?
Yeah, I got an awful lot of attention. That was our editorial board after having watched Romney both on the campaign trail and in an editorial board interview, worried that he had been on so many sides of so many issues that it was hard to believe exactly where he stood on anything, and felt like that really wasn't the right message for New Hampshire Republicans to be sending.
Well, you endorsed Hillary Clinton and John McCain. The Monitor did, so one has to assume you think they did have the right message for New Hampshire. Take John McCain first. What is it about him that the Monitor felt was important enough to select for its endorsement?
You know, it's interesting. We endorsed him 8 years ago, and he won here, at least. And he is very much the same candidate, the same sort of person that he was then. I think what's also changed this time is the weakness of the field, that for one reason or another, most of his competitors, particularly the ones who've been campaigning here, wouldn't resonate with voters for a variety of reasons. And I think, too, you know, the national media sort of called McCain dead last summer, and he was resurrected, and he had much less money left to spend, and he did it the way that New Hampshire voters like to see, which is low budget. He's here all the time. He was doing town meeting after town meeting after town meeting, and anybody who was worried about his age saw somebody who was everywhere all the time.
And Hillary Clinton?
In that case, that was a really tough decision for our editorial board, which was split and felt like among the five of us, we would have been satisfied with an endorsement of either Senator Clinton or Senator Obama. In the end, majority ruled. But I think the feeling there was truly that while we liked where both of them were on issues and liked them both for a variety of reasons, that her experience and her ability to sort of know the levers of Washington and know how to start making things happen from the get-go was a plus.
I couldn't help but notice that the candidates that you selected were both candidates for whom experience had been the, sort of their key credential. You think that that's what New Hampshire voters value most?
You know, it's interesting that you say it that way. I hadn't thought about it, but yeah, I mean, I think people here are so serious, almost subconsciously serious about vetting these candidates and really studying up on that. And I think that's really, as excited as people are about Obama and the exit polls are projecting a win for him here, I think that experience doesn't count for nothing.
Felice Bellman is the executive editor of the Concord Monitor. She joined us from the newsroom there in Concord. Thanks, Felice.
Thank you.
And you can follow all the latest election news from New Hampshire and from across the nation from NPR and from PBS's NewsHour at npr.org/elections. You're listening to live coverage of the 2008 New Hampshire primary from NPR News.
From NPR News, this is live coverage of the 2008 New Hampshire primary. I'm Michelle Martin.
And NPR is projecting that John McCain has won for the Republicans, with Mitt Romney coming in second.
On the Democratic side, the race between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama is too close to call at this point, with about 12% of precincts reporting.
Coming up, we'll check in with the McCain headquarters and we'll hear analysis of the early returns. From NPR News, this is live coverage of the 2008 New Hampshire primary. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Martin. We're going to go now to NPR's Robert Smith. He's joining us from Manchester, New Hampshire, where he's covering primary night from the headquarters of former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani. Hi, Robert.
Hi. It's all over here. The candidate has spoken. He has conceded, and he's on a plane to Florida.
I was going to ask, is anybody there? Did Rudy Giuliani even touch down in the state at all? He didn't campaign at all very much there, did he?
He campaigned very little. Today was a very light schedule, talking to really just a few elderly voters, stopping by a restaurant. And today, you know, it was a little bit of a sad party here. About 65 people showed up at 8:10, 10 minutes after the polls closed. He came out and he said, I'd like to congratulate the winners. Somebody said, who are the winners? And he says, well, we don't know that yet. But he understood that it wasn't him.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know it's not me.
Yeah, basically. And he thanked them. And I do want to play this cut because this is very interesting. He's taking a we meant to do that approach.
We were prepared for this from the very beginning. It fits into how we looked at this from the very beginning about there being at least 29 primaries and caucuses between January 3rd and February 5th. And now we're off to the next group of them with renewed vigor, renewed spirit, and some great new proposals about how to make America safer, how to make America stronger, how to make America more prosperous.
So he said there at the top, we prepared for this from the very beginning, sort of forgetting that he did actually make a play to win New Hampshire, and he was leading in the polls here in the spring and the summer for a while.
Robert, we've talked a lot about how New Hampshire voters, along with Iowa voters, really jealously guard their primacy in the sort of process, their first-in-the-nation status. So for the voters in New Hampshire who did support Rudy Giuliani, why?
Why did they support Rudy Giuliani?
And why were they willing to overlook his sort of mini snub of the state?
Well, listen, I mean, you have to remember, he came here. He spent $2.4 million in ads in this state. He went on tours. He shook hands at parades. He gave big, huge rallies here as recently as Thanksgiving. It was when the polls started to drop, Huckabee came up, McCain's rebound. That was when Rudy Giuliani started to say, well, I didn't really mean to make a play for New Hampshire anyway. I have this big, 50-state strategy. But let's be honest, he did make a play for it. He does have a fan base here. It's just they took a look at him, he spent the money, and they just decided not to vote for him.
Okay, thank you. NPR's Robert Smith joining us from the Radisson in Manchester, New Hampshire, where he's covering primary night. From the headquarters of former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani.
And Robert mentioned that expenditure of $2.4 million by the Giuliani campaign in New Hampshire. Almost as important as how many votes or certainly how many delegates you have at this point is how much money a campaign has in the bank. NPR's Peter Overby covers money and politics. Peter, who's flush and who's broke?
Well, mainly the people who are flush are Democrats at this point. Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama at the end of the year each had more than $100 million. Hmm. And the fundraising leaders on the Republican side, Mitt Romney and Rudy Giuliani, weren't saying how much they had, but my best estimate is it was $50 to $70 million each.
Still not exactly small change to have to spend. That was by the end of the year, but how much was actually spent then in Iowa and now in New Hampshire in the course of 8 days?
Well, we can't figure that, but one thing that we do know is that after Iowa, there was a big spike in the fundraising for Barack Obama, $1 million in one day, that kind of thing.
If you lose, you may be in more need of more money, but it's harder to go raise money at that moment.
That's right. And you can see it if you look historically at Iowa 4 years ago. Howard Dean was ahead of John Kerry in fundraising, 3-1 going into Iowa, coming out of Iowa and then New Hampshire a week later, Kerry was ahead by 3.5-1.
How do these numbers, 100 million plus, 100 million plus, 70 million, 70 million, how does that stack up with past experience of these guys?
Miles ahead. If you look at Obama and Clinton, $100 million each, Kerry and Dean at this point, combined $60 million 4 years ago.
Wow. NPR's Peter Overby, who covers money and politics, talking about the New Hampshire primary.
You're listening to live coverage of the 2008 New Hampshire primary from NPR News.
You're listening to live coverage of the 2008 New Hampshire primary from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Martin. We're going to go now to a senior advisor to the Clinton campaign. Anne Lewis joins us from the Clinton Party in Manchester, New Hampshire. Anne, welcome. Thanks so much for speaking with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
How are you doing?
We're doing fine. We've had a good couple of days. Hillary's just been getting great crowds where she goes. She's had a wonderful opportunity to talk with the voters of New Hampshire. I hear a lot of positive response to the choice she's been offering people. I'm feeling very good about the direction we're going.
Well, early returns show that it is indeed a race. It's a tight race. It's a race with Barack Obama, but there's still rumors of some, I don't know what's the word, discontent in the Clinton campaign, rumors of a staff shakeup. Is that true?
There will be no staff shakeup. Now, I do think if you look at what we're going to do, we're going from now through Super Tuesday, when we're going to have 21 elections on the same day. So you're seeing a campaign that is gearing up, that is tooling up, that is getting ready for what's in front of us. again, look at it. If, with California, New York, New Jersey, all on the same day, we're going to need to be in a lot of places at once, and you're going to see a campaign that grows and expands. But the central theme, the message that Hillary Clinton has been talking about, that's the message we're going to be taking to voters everywhere.
That central theme, though, to this point has been her experience. A lot of people have felt in the last couple of days that she's tried to position herself as the change agent or direct answer to Barack Obama.
Well, actually, I think, again, if you heard her on Saturday night at the debate, she said, you know, the difference is between talk and action. As I like to say, we have a number of candidates on our side who say the right thing, and that's great. I'm very proud of them. But we only have one candidate who has the record now of doing the right thing. So what Hillary has been doing is taking her record of getting things done and connecting it directly with people's lives. Talking, for example, here in New Hampshire about the 7,000 children who now have health insurance because she went to work and fought and got children's health insurance. There are 2,700 members of the National Guard from New Hampshire who now get health care because Hillary stood up to the Pentagon and forced a change in the rules so that we would have health care available for people in the National Guard and Reserve. Those are real changes. They've made a difference in people's lives, and those are the kind of examples she gives along the way.
Well, Hillary Clinton is obviously an important cultural figure as well as an important political figure. She's certainly a role model for many women. How do you account for the fact, though, that Barack Obama beat her among women in Iowa?
Well, as I look at the Iowa results, we did not reach enough young women. It was very clear. Now, I would say going in on behalf of the campaign, we had probably aimed a little too much on older voters because that's what we were expecting to be the great majority of caucus goers. Well, you know what? People aren't going to vote for you if you don't talk to them. We didn't do enough talking with younger voters. First, we want to talk to them about Hillary's vision for their future, whether it is her work on global warming or what she's done to try to make sure that the doors of college are open for middle class and working students. She's been working hard. She has great ideas for the issues that matter a lot to younger voters. I think we have to do more to talk to them about this, and you're going to see us having those conversations. She's been having those conversations just in the last couple of days.
And finally, Ann, some would argue that Barack Obama's appeal is not just that he's an agent of change, but that he is an agent of inspiration, that he's an inspiring figure, that people see in him kind of the voice of a new generation. How does Hillary Clinton answer that?
Well, I will talk about my candidate and not anyone else's, but I think those of us who remember and think of Hillary Clinton standing in Beijing, China, at the UN Conference of Women, and saying to the world, women's rights are human rights. Human rights are women's rights. That was an inspirational moment. That simple statement of principle that resonates around the world, that is an example of the inspiring leadership that Hillary Clinton has been giving and will continue to give.
Ann Lewis is a senior advisor to the Clinton campaign. She joined us from the Clinton campaign party, as you can hear, in Manchester, New Hampshire. Thanks, Ann.
My pleasure.
And they've counted about 16-17% of the vote in the New Hampshire primary, and on the Democratic side, it's very close. Hillary Clinton has about 2,000 more votes than Barack Obama. That comes out to about a 40% to 36% margin of what's been counted so far. On the Republican side, it's not so close. John McCain has done well enough, still with relatively few votes counted, so that NPR and other news organizations have called this race for Senator McCain. Scott Horsley is at McCain headquarters in Nashua, New Hampshire. Scott, what does McCain's campaign do now that they've proven themselves alive in New Hampshire? What are they looking at next? What stage?
Well, they try to leverage this victory here, both in terms of fundraising and momentum. Peter Overby talked about how the fundraising follows a victory. And when you think back to earlier last year, John McCain, of course, was able to raise a fair amount of money, but he spent a lot of money, and it came to a point where midsummer he was practically broke. They hope certainly with this victory they'll have more resources available to them. He goes tomorrow to Michigan to begin campaigning for the Michigan primary, which is a week from tonight, then on to South Carolina, and goes on from there.
As you said, they were spending more than they had in the first half of last year, and not good for a candidate who has campaigned very heavily against irresponsible spending in Washington.
That's right. It was a little bit tough to paint yourself as a true fiscal conservative when your campaign coffers were empty. But those campaign coffers, I think, will fill up just the way this ballroom is filling up now. Lots of McCain supporters piling into the ballroom. We expect to hear from the senator himself sometime between 9 and 9:30. Mm-hmm. And because many of the news organizations have now called the race for John McCain, I'm told it might be closer to the 9 o'clock hour when he comes out to celebrate with his followers here in Nashua.
Scott, how did John McCain handle the issue of immigration on which he's just, for a great many Republicans, he's just on the wrong side of it? Now, how did he deal with it in New Hampshire?
And it's interesting because we saw from our exit polling that immigration was a big issue here. And John McCain frankly said to a lot of voters in the last few days here in New Hampshire, we're not going to agree on everything. I know that. But one of the things you respect about me is I say what I believe. I don't try to conform my statements to what the polls show. And I talk to voters.
It sounds like something very exciting has happened in that
room.
Well,
people are responding to the big screen TV, which is just flashing some new election results. We'll certainly give you a heads up when we see the senator himself here.
They're just being a TV audience, is all you're saying.
That's right. They're watching the poll numbers that we've been reporting for a while. But I think New Hampshire voters, at least a significant number of them, were willing to put aside their differences with McCain because they respected the fact that he said what he believed.
Scott Horsley at McCain headquarters, thank you so much. And what an object lesson, Michelle, that just poll numbers can draw such enthusiastic response if it's the right audience that's
exactly.
I'm offering you a lead into our next guest.
It would have to be the right audience. We would probably cheer if we saw poll numbers. We are those kind of people who'd be so excited.
Some kind of excitement.
That's right. But let's talk about the polls and how lucky we are that we have Andy Kohut here to talk about some poll numbers. He is president of the Pew Research Center. He's here with us in the studio. Hello, Andy.
Hello, Michelle. This is a very interesting night on both sides. Wow, is all I can say. On the Democratic side, what appears to be a surprise comeback, or at least tying, or a very close race by Mrs. Clinton, is a result of strong support from Democrats. And Obama got his strong support for independents, but she got every bit as much backing from Democrats, which was unlike Iowa, where Democrats were kind of broke about even, and Obama enjoyed this great margin among independents. So that really is an important part of it. But the gender gap was a part of the Clinton story is that women supported Hillary Clinton by a very strong 45% to 36% margin, while men went the other way, 44% for Obama and 29% for Clinton. Again, referencing back to Iowa, yeah, men supported Obama, but women didn't rally to Clinton the way they did in this are doing tonight, and that's an important part of. If you want to call it a comeback or her doing better than expected.
Obviously, we want to get to John McCain also and figure out what's at the origin of his victory there. But I want to talk a little bit more about Hillary Clinton. Did she get more women out? Did she turn it around among women? Is it just the right kind of women came out for her?
Well,
more older women?
Surprisingly, there's not, unlike Iowa, again, I keep going back to Iowa, because we don't see a tremendous difference between the composition of this electorate and the electorate back in 2004. Women are the majority of, represent a majority of the Democrats, but an especially larger majority. I think it's just a matter of women were a lot more sympathetic and supportive of Hillary Clinton than the pre-election polls expected they would be. I mean, the pre-election polls had huge margins for Clinton for the most part, except for a few polls. But certainly the support of base Democrats and the support of women was extremely important.
John McCain?
John McCain, independents.
Independents.
41% of the 38%, 40% of this electorate were independents. They voted overwhelmingly for McCain, and McCain and Romney broke even among Republicans.
Andy, in Iowa, there were a lot of very young voters who took part in the Democratic caucuses. Here, do we see the same thing? 23% of the people who were polled being under 30, let's say.
No, I think it's about 18% or 19%,
really?
Which is about what it was 4 years ago. Again, there's no sense of the characteristics of this electorate being different than it had been either in 2000 or 2004. Now, there was obviously a very heavy turnout, but it wasn't so disproportionate as it was in Iowa, where you had all of these first-time voters at a record level and young people at a record level. This is more like what you expect from New Hampshire, and that is certainly a large part of the story.
Is it possible that John McCain won the battle for the independents with Barack Obama today in New Hampshire? Or the numbers don't square, do you think?
I'm sorry, I don't follow.
Is it possible that these two candidates who were battling for the similar voters in many cases, Obama and McCain, that of them, more of them went on the Republican side, perhaps, to McCain?
Perhaps, but the Republican turnout, the relative share of Republicans is a little lower in 2008 than it was in 2000 when we had a two-party race.
Excuse Andy, me. We're going to Mitt Romney's campaign headquarters right now, primary night headquarters. He's addressing his supporters.
I've gotten two silvers and one gold. Thank Thank you, Wyoming. And but tonight, congratulations go to Senator John McCain for running a first-class race. Congratulations on the gold, Senator. Great job. Let's give him a round of applause. I know we'd rather have it, but he did a good job and outcompeted us. And I want to say thanks to you for the work that you've done, particularly my national chair here, Senator Judd Gregg, his wife, Kathy Gregg, who was my state chair. Where's Bruce Keough, my other state co-chair? Where's Bruce? Bruce is over here. You know, normally we have our chairs on the stage with us, you know, not serving the soft drinks. Come on up here, Bruce. And, of course, there's Bruce. Thank you, Bruce. Our campaign manager. Where's Jim Merrill? Come on up here, Jim Merrill. Get up here, Jim.
You know, Michelle, we had a pair of speechwriters on All Things Considered today, a Democrat, a Republican. Asked them what you should do at this moment if you've got to give a speech and you haven't won. And the advice from both was, cut out the thank yous, because you know you're right now in competition with people like us, and candidates just have to thank a lot of folks. But anyway,
he did give us some important news. He got Wyoming.
Yes, that's their gold. That's their gold medal win. They say they came in first.
New Hampshire is the first primary in the nation. There is a reason for it. The people in this great state really get to know the candidates, ask them questions, learn about their heart and their character. People in New Hampshire open their hearts and their homes to us, and for that we will always be grateful. Thank you so much, New Hampshire.
That was Mitt Romney giving his gracious second-place speech and first place in Wyoming. And we're going to go back to Andy Cohen here, pollster, who's talking with us about the numbers. We've talked a lot in recent days about the whole sort of change versus experience question, and there's some important foreign policy news heading into the early voting, certainly right before the Iowa caucuses. The assassination of Benazir Bhutto was sort of at the top of the news. Is there any sense that those factors, that the importance of these factors played any role in the New Hampshire voters' minds?
Absolutely, on the Republican side. On the Republican side, the top issues were Iraq, terrorism, the economy, and immigration. The only issue that Romney won were voters who were picking immigration as their top issue. But McCain won convincing victories over Romney among the people who said they were voting on Iraq, 46 to 24, on terrorism, 43 to 24, which is still a very big issue for Republicans. So to a certain extent, Romney was a one issue candidate in this race, and McCain really won on foreign policy. And at the same time, even though he was a great supporter of the surge, he did very, very well among the nearly half of the Republican electorate that said they were critical of President Bush, either disappointed or even angry. And those people voted for McCain, who was a strong backer of President Bush with respect to the war in Iraq and perhaps many other things,
Andy
immigration
Cohen
among them.
Thanks, Andy. Andy's going to be with us throughout the evening, so we'll hear from you again. Thanks. Andy Cohut is the president of the Pew Research Center. He's here with us in the studio in Washington.
And once again, in the actual voting on the Republican side, well, again, most of the votes haven't been counted. Looking at the margin and looking at the exit poll information, we, as have others, have called John McCain the winner of the Republican primary. The Democratic primary is a lot closer, so close at this point, with still under a quarter of the vote counted. Hillary Clinton is leading by a few points, and that's a few thousand votes over Barack Obama. It looks like about a 40% to 34% margin for Senator Clinton right now. And we're going to turn now to our man at Obama headquarters, NPR's Don Gagne, who's in Nashua. It's rather quiet behind you, Don.
It is very quiet. Now, I need to tell you, I'm in a room just off the main ballroom. They have a huge press room set up here, and the doors are right there. But it is quiet in there. They're watching Mitt Romney's concession speech on the big screen on the wall as we speak. I can tell you, though, it sounds very different from what I was able to hear kind of over the phone line as you were speaking to folks at the Clinton headquarters earlier. I mean, they were rocking and rolling over there. Here, there does seem to be some anxiety, people watching the numbers, people waiting the numbers. There was an expectation, especially from these very enthusiastic Obama supporters, that they might be celebrating a pretty decent-sized win tonight. And this very close race, again, has created a great deal more tension than they'd anticipated.
And close, and so at this early point in the count, going Hillary Clinton's way. I mean, are you hearing from anyone there, are you hearing people spin a second-place finish in New Hampshire at all?
Not yet. There's still a hope, still an expectation that that they will win this thing.
And does anybody talk about where the vote counts are coming from in the state and where they might yet come from and how the balance might change or no?
You're hearing all that kind of talk. People are saying, well, some of these precincts that are reporting along the coastline into the south, those are areas that you would have expected Hillary Clinton to be very strong, and indeed she has been. Some people are also looking at that McCain victory and wondering if independents who could vote in either primary, Republican or Democratic primary here, meant that the strength of the McCain comeback and his win here means that a lot of independents who might have otherwise gone to Barack Obama went to John McCain. That said, the exit polling numbers we're seeing do show that Obama did very well among independents.
Well, let's turn to Manchester and Clinton primary night headquarters there and NPR's David Green. David, what do people there see in the numbers so far?
Well, they are very much seeing the numbers, Robert. They're looking at a big screen TV, and there have been these bursts of applause as they've been seeing the numbers come in, and Clinton appeared to be holding a lead over Barack Obama. I have to tell you, just a few days ago in Iowa, it was such a different type of scene. People came in, they had a big screen television up, weren't even showing CNN, so no one was getting a sense of the fact that Hillary Clinton was losing. The mood was much more downtrodden. People were just having some wine, cheese, and it seemed like people were just expecting the worst. And a totally different scene here tonight. It feels very electric. And, last night when Hillary Clinton gave her final rally in Manchester, they had a lot of problems. They were accidentally charging people for parking, and it didn't seem that electric. So I think the results coming in so far have really uplifted and giving a lot of Hillary Clinton supporters some hope this evening.
But talk about changing expectations. Senator Clinton winning by a few points in the early count here, but this was to be her firewall. This was the surefire win in New Hampshire a few weeks ago.
Such a change in expectations. You're right. And it started early on as soon as the campaign landed here. When they were in Iowa, there was a lot of talk of confidence. We're gonna win this state. We're going to do very well. In New Hampshire, not so much talk of confidence. And, of course, expectations can be such a very careful game that campaigns play. But I think that the Clinton campaign didn't want to predict victory. And there was a lot of talk about staff changes and so forth. And so a lot of low expectations. Some polls showed Barack Obama perhaps up by double digits. So a long way to go tonight. But if Clinton does pull out a victory or come closer, you could see her leaving New Hampshire at least with a level of momentum that didn't appear that she would have. But there is still talk of staff changes and some thinking about how to change the message as we go forward. It will be a tough fight with Obama, but I think Clinton might have some momentum that she didn't expect. But again, it's early.
Her aide Ann Lewis, who was on not long ago here, would have none of that. She was saying no staff changes. Forward to February 5th.
That's right, but we have already heard that Doug Sosnick, who was a top aide and political advisor in Bill Clinton's administration, has already signed on as a new consultant, so at least one change is happening.
Okay. That's NPR's David Green at Clinton headquarters, and earlier we heard from Don Gagne at Obama headquarters. Michelle?
We're going to go now to Audie Cornish. She's with the John Edwards campaign in Manchester, New Hampshire. Hi, Audie.
Hi. I'm here in Manchester, and the primary night location for John Edwards is actually an old mill. It's part of the refurbished mills here in Manchester, sort of in keeping with his campaign theme. Very much a conversation piece at every stump speech about how his family and his father worked in textile mills. So that's sort of where the location is right now.
What is John Edwards hoping to accomplish here? He has to know that the story is all about Clinton Obama. What's he hoping to accomplish in New Hampshire? That's
a very good question. It's not entirely clear. They obviously did not expect to place much higher than third. In 2004, he placed fourth, so he did better than then. But I think they did campaign very hard here, and he spent a lot of time here, but they didn't expect to win. What they do expect to do is to shore up their position to continue on to fight.
Okay.
And when I talked to the campaign manager, he basically told me, you know, we've raised $1.5 million since Iowa.
Audie, I'm sorry, we're going to have to interrupt. We're going to have to leave it there. We'll come back to you later. That's NPR's Audie Cornish with the Edwards campaign in the Old Tower Mill in Manchester.
Now, Republican candidate Rudolph Giuliani picked up only about 9% of the vote in New Hampshire, and so far this is with not all the votes, obviously, counted. Giuliani spoke earlier this hour at the Radisson Hotel in Manchester, and he insisted that his apparently poor finish in New Hampshire is not a setback.
I don't know the result yet tonight, but what I can tell you is this race is a wide-open race. It is a wide-open race. There's going to be a lot more ups and downs to it. And one thing we can handle is ups and downs. We're very good at that. That's what it means to handle crisis. That's what it means to handle problems. And maybe we've lulled our opponents into a false sense of confidence now. Right? But we were prepared for this from the very beginning. It fits into how we looked at this from the very beginning about there being at least 29 primaries and caucuses between January 3rd and February 5th. And now we're off to the next group of them with renewed vigor, renewed spirit, and some great new proposals about how to make America safer, how to make America stronger, how to make America more prosperous. Again, my congratulations to the winners. My congratulations to you for your tremendous commitment to making America an even better country, because this first-in-the-nation primary in New Hampshire is all about, I know we talk about politics, but it's all about making a better country, and you're accomplishing that. Thank you, and God bless you, and God bless America.
That's former New York City Mayor Rudolph Giuliani speaking this evening in Manchester, New Hampshire. You can learn more about what awaits the candidates as they move beyond the New Hampshire primary with our interactive election map. It's at npr.org/elections. Now we're going to go to Huckabee. Primary night headquarters, where the former Arkansas governor is about to address his supporters. And there you can hear the music that is accompanying his walk to the podium.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, you may like me, but I want to tell you something. I love you guys. Thank you very much. I have a great, great friend who is a highly decorated Marine from Vietnam. And he made a statement once. He said, I've never lost at anything I've done. He said, sometimes the game ended before I got finished playing. Tonight, I was able to call Governor Romney, Senator McCain, and congratulate them on finishing ahead of us. But ladies and gentlemen, a few weeks ago, we were way back in not so even sixth place. And nobody thought that we would even be one of the contenders in New Hampshire. But something over the past... But because so many people in this state just worked their hearts out. And it wasn't like we had a whole lot of money to help you with. So you made up for it with hard work, phone calls, emails. Frankly, I'm not sure what all some of you did that I don't even want to know. But thank you for getting it done, because tonight we're going to come out here with the continued momentum. And I want to just tell you from the depths of my heart that we thought that if we could finish in the top, we kept saying 4 or 5, we'd feel pretty good about that, knowing just how tough it's been to try to break through. But tonight, you've given us so much more than we could have imagined just a few days or weeks ago. And over the last few days, we've seen that momentum build and the excitement in our rallies and the enthusiasm of our people and the size of the crowds. And we just sensed that we were going to do better than a lot of people thought that this old unknown Southern boy could possibly do up here in New England.
Mike Huckabee, Michelle putting a very brave face on a 12% third place finish.
It's a gracious speech, but you have to wonder what's going through his mind when he's locked in third place with Ron Paul and Rudy Giuliani, who, you know, campaigned a little bit in New Hampshire, but not a lot. Spent some money there, but then kind of got out of Dodge.
Kind of threw in the towel on New Hampshire. Andy Cohut of Pew Research is with us. Mike Huckabee polled about, we think he's going to come out with about 12% here in New Hampshire. Who voted for him?
Well, white evangelical Protestants, but they didn't vote for him at the same margin. There weren't as many of them in New Hampshire. That's the big deal, 18% versus 60% in Iowa. And the margin was pretty close. Huckabee got 36% of them, and McCain got 28%. So we don't – I mean, New Hampshire is a very different state than Iowa and a very different state than a lot of Republican states. It's a moderate state. It has relatively few Christian conservatives, and that's not the kind of place where Huckabee is going to do well. He'll have his day in other places.
But as we heard, he this evening has made a great success out of a third place finish, because who knows, if a few weeks ago everyone would have said he would come in fifth or sixth. Michelle?
We're going to go now to NPR's Melissa Block. She's joining us from Southern New Hampshire University in Manchester. She's covering primary night from the headquarters of New York Senator Hillary Clinton. Hi, Melissa.
Hey there.
So as the sort of the numbers come in and it's still tight, is there a sense of anxiety there, anticipation, just happiness all around?
Mm-hmm. General exuberation. I mean, as the numbers have been coming through on TV screens, the crowds are going through waves of applause and cheers. It's still, you know, I get the sense of people holding back on their enthusiasm just a little bit. I will say that the music playing not so long ago was "Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic," and maybe that's what they're banking on happening here tonight. And I have to say, having gone to some events yesterday with Barack Obama, you got the sense of this was a candidate with the wind at his back in New Hampshire. Extremely confident, huge crowds, overflow crowds that could not get in. And Clinton really seemed to me to be much more on the defensive. So if they have turned this around, as the polls are indicating they have, something really significant happened here. And I think what we were hearing from Andy with this support from women turning to Clinton here in New Hampshire, which didn't happen in Iowa, that seems to have been enough, possibly, if these results hold, to put her over the top. Having been going around to polling places today and seeing the numbers of independent voters who were showing up, were picking Democratic ballots, numbers of first-time voters showing up, all of those were things that were supposed to help Barack Obama. So I think there's a lot of head-scratching among people here, happy head-scratching about if she, in fact, reversed the trend here, how they did that, and can they sustain it?
That was going to be my question. Do they think they won this, or do they think that they think that something that Hillary Clinton did differently, or do you think it's something that there was more air in the Obama surge than perhaps we were able to recognize at first?
I don't know. I mean, remember, the Iowa caucuses are a strange beast, and you've got the thing, you've got the situation where candidates who don't have a certain threshold can tip their support to another candidate, and maybe those help put Obama over the top out there. But, Hillary Clinton has been hammering home this message over the last few days here in New Hampshire that she is the one with experience, we need somebody to lead from day one, was one of her most recent ads here, and asking about Barack Obama, what is the substance here? Where is the reality? I have to say, when she was delivering that message, she had sort of a bewildered tone to my ear, but it seems to have resonated. I did hear a lot of voters today saying, Obama, one man told me, Obama is the rookie on the block. Clinton is the old guard. And you would think that the old guard would be a bad thing, but here, at least for that voter and others like him, they were saying, I like that. I don't want a newcomer. I want somebody with the experience. And Obama's proposals, his platform was too vague. They liked the specifics of what Hillary Clinton was saying.
NPR's Melissa Block. She's joining us from the Clinton campaign party at the Southern New Hampshire University in Manchester.
And thanks, Matt. And the good news for the Clinton campaign again is that with almost 30% of the precincts in New Hampshire counted. She's running ahead. She's a couple of thousand votes, a few thousand votes ahead of Barack Obama. It works out to about a 40% to 36% lead. Again, most of the votes have not been counted. That's a lot closer than the Republican race this evening, in which John McCain is running very well, and we've called him the winner, as have many other news organizations, with Mitt Romney running second and Mike Huckabee running third.
I think Melissa made a good point that the Iowa caucuses have this peculiarity where you can throw, if you're a second-tier candidate, if you're someone's second choice, you can then be, you can get the votes of the people. So it was, of course, primary night. Caucus night that the Bill Richardson folks, the Dennis Kucinich folks, however many they were, went to Barack Obama, and that may have contributed to this astonishing lead.
And that just doesn't work in a primary.